Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline! 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody. Tonight on Loveline, Josh Myers from That 70s Show. You know him as Randy Pearson. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Fox. You also know him from Mad TV, from where he was fired in 2002.
Yeah, that's right.
A story we'll hear soon. We got to put you right on this thing.
Yeah, got it.
There you go. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And people may or may not be aware, Seth Meyers is Josh's brother from Saturday Night Live.
Correct.
And I've just discovered that Missy Pyle, a dear friend of this show, is your girlfriend.
Yes.
And you know her as one of the evil moms in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think her daughter gets blown up like a blueberry?
Like a blueberry.
Blueberry, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and squeezed.
And I saw her a couple months ago, on My Name is Earl, where she was the evil knife thrower.
Yes, very often evil.
Evil mom.
And she's very sweet, trust me.
What's that, Anderson? Anderson?
I need some more juice.
Okay, good. When you scream something into our headphones, we need to know what that means. All right. Thank you. She has a way of playing it's the evil mom now. It's specifically that she's into.
She's about to shoot a pilot, a drama where I don't think she's going to be evil.
Is she going to be a mom?
I don't think so.
No.
She's going to be a wife, but she's going to be very attractive and she's going to be Southern. And I think she's looking forward to that. When we first started going out, she was shooting dodgeball. She's the
evil
Eastern European, champion
right.
dodgeball player with the monobrow and the buns on the side of the head.
Right, very funny.
And she wouldn't let me come to the set because she didn't want me to see her looking like that. And as we sort of dated and things got better, she showed me a picture.
It must be interesting to cast her in a dramatic role. She's not what you call a short woman.
No, she's not. She's 5'11", maybe 6 feet. And,
so the guy's got to be up there, too.
Yeah.
That's good.
Although this guy is, I assume things are all out there, but he's the guy playing her husband is actually engaged to Allison Janney, who's from the West Wing, who's
right.
super tall.
Right,
I think she's like 6'1", 6'2", and this guy is like 5'11", so he's already shorter than his fiancée.
He's used to it.
Right.
And so how was it working on That 70s Show?
It was great.
Was it?
Yeah, they were all really nice, and I just did the last season.
Yeah,
which we're still in the middle of running, but it was a lot of fun.
I think we've had a long relationship with a lot of those. Like, we call them kids. They were like so young when they first started this thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wilmer was really just always the nicest guy.
Yeah,
and Mila.
Mila
got me to be a voice on Family Guy.
So oh, really?
I'm indebted to her.
Oh, very nice.
I mean, for my kids, I got to be voice the Family Guy.
Yeah, Wilmer, people are always, I do a lot of radio interview stuff early in the morning. And people are like, hey, is Wilmer a real douche? And you're like,
no. He's not.
And girls are always like, what's the big deal with this Wilmer Valderrama? And then they meet him and they're like, oh, that's a big deal. Like, he's super charming and super nice.
And super smart and speaks four languages or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. None of them well, but.
Of course, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But, he, as his story is, he basically sort of landed this thing out of nowhere. His family is, his dad was a farmer or something.
I don't know a lot of
it's a crazy, crazy story. And he just sort of out of the blue landed this role, and he takes care, and basically used that to take care of his family. And that was his first priority.
Well, he's got Willy World now, like his, I don't know if that's what it's called, but he's bought like this little compound, and he's got like three little houses in it, and his family's close by. They're not but it's he's very close with his family.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, and he took care of them. So he dates a lot of Betsy.
Yeah,
tight a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mila.
He doesn't see the dating as work, but he does. Like when you see him in these magazines, the Us Weekly, the Variety, whatever. I guess Variety and Us Weekly are in different categories. But
slightly.
When you see him sort of out and about, he sees that all as work, and he will go to three parties in a night.
Just building his image?
But it's work, and he's networking, and like people want to see Wilmer when they're out. I'm sure he's a good sighting for people who are just sort of clubbing. It's like, hey, we're at the cool club because Wilmer's
here.
Right. Little do you know, there are three clubs equally as cool because he'll bounce around. It's a fun. He's a fun guy.
He's a nice guy. So it was a good experience all the way around.
Loved it.
Are you back again? Do you know or
no? It's all over. We've shot the series finale.
Oh, is that right? That's right. I heard about that. Are they all remorseful?
New Year's Eve, 1979. So it can't go on any longer.
They feel bad about it.
It was very emotional. The last week was really emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine putting high school and college together and in a class of eight. Yeah. And then at graduation, you know, you're going to be sad.
Wow.
So it was, you know, it was eight great years for those guys. And for a lot of them, it was high school and college, essentially. College.
Same time frame, anyway.
Yeah.
Mila came right out of Hollywood High School, as I remember.
She was 14.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then you were in Date Movie. People may have recognized you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
And then you've just done a pilot.
I'm about to shoot a pilot. Yeah, I'll shoot it in about a week and a half. It's called That Guy, about a guy who's just turned 30 and his best friend just got married, but he sort of hates the wine and cheese couples culture.
Oh, right.
And is trying to live his life like a 21-year-old, but his body won't necessarily keep up with what he wants it to do.
Nice.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys do that, though.
Try to do
yes,
that?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, like, there's things in the pilot about, you know, me, like, throwing my neck out at a concert,
right?
Which, since I did that scene in the audition,
you've
I threw
exactly
my neck
that
out.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
stage diving.
I am that guy.
All right, let's take some calls. Here we go. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. Josh Myers in here with us. This is Torrance.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Torrance?
Every time oral sex is performed on me, I cannot feel anything.
Thank God Josh is here.
Right.
What do you think, Josh?
I don't know. Are you using ice cubes as a precursor to this oral sex?
I don't know, like, I'm a virgin, and but if, like, a guy fingers me, you know, I can feel it, but, like, every guy who's gone down on me, I can't feel it. And I don't feel that thing, you know, when everybody talks about it, it's so good. I don't feel it. I don't know why.
Well, do you ever masturbate?
Yeah.
And do you masturbate to orgasm?
Yeah.
And do you do that with sort of internal stimulation, or do you put something on the outside?
Something in, yeah.
Okay, so you're one of those, there's some women that have prefer sort of an internal kind of stimulation, and some markedly prefer the outside. In fact, some can't orgasm without there's some direct stimulation on the outside. And the women that tend to like more the inside stimulation tend to find the outside stimulation, the clitoral stimulation, directly sort of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sort of fit with you, Torrance?
Like, I don't find it uncomfortable. I just don't feel anything. So basically, I'm just laying there, and I don't.
I think you need to coach these guys, because if you can do it,
that's the other possibility. Well,
it's hard. I think it's hard to talk about. Yeah. Sort of, it's hard to give direction because you don't
want
to.
Yeah, guys want direction, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes. And I think it's awkward.
Yes. Okay, Josh. Got
it's awkward to bring it up, but at the end of the day, you want to know how to make people satisfy you, and you want to know how to satisfy people.
And these are young guys; they may not know what the heck they're doing. But I think, Torrance, the main thing is get in a relationship, settle down, and kind of settle in with somebody. This is going to kind of take care of itself, I suspect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be in a big hurry. Does anything else you need to tell me? Were you sexually abused or anything that could affect your experience?
No.
All right. So this will work itself out. Get in a nice, stable relationship. I think that'll be the most important thing, okay?
And you can always just keep masturbating.
Here's the opposite problem. This is Trina. What's up, Trina?
Hi.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Okay, so I've been masturbating since I was, God, maybe 6 or 7 years old, like starting out, you know, in hot tub jets or whatever, and then, you know, progressing on to a vibrator. I used to be able to have, you know, I could have 15, 20 clitoral orgasms, like, in a row in one time that I'd masturbate. So I do that a lot. And then eventually I, like, my clit, like, grew. Like, it got, like, it's a larger clit than it was before. And I can't come, like, by masturbating or on an, it's getting head doesn't feel good. And I can only come, like, during sex. But I couldn't come internally before this happened, and I
want
to know what's going on.
I'm not quite sure I know.
Yeah, I lost that a little bit.
Although I know that you've sort of overstimulated thing, maybe irritated something. Yeah.
Well,
Has your clit grown to a point where it's like a penis now?
Oh, no. It's maybe like a centimeter and a half, but it seems really big. You know what I mean?
And are you on a new medication?
Well, I started on Depo-Provera, but it was before that that I noticed it. Like, I haven't masturbated in a while because it doesn't do anything.
Well, it might all be the Depo doing. The whole thing might be the Depo.
Really?
Yeah, Depo can shut you down pretty good. And it also has some androgenic activity, some male type hormone that could potentially make a little change in the clitoral size.
And turn it into a penis.
Not really turn it into a penis. Not like.
Yeah, I mean,
Deca.
It still looks like a clit and everything. It's not.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
God, thank you. Thank
I'm
God.
A complete sex change. Thank God. No.
No. I suspect anything else besides the Depo.
Ah.
No, the medicine. That's probably
That's interesting.
Yeah, that probably. There's not a lot of education that goes on when women get on that shot. They whatever reasons, the people that issue those shots, they're so anxious to get you on a good contraceptive, which it is an excellent contraceptive, that they don't point out that you can get a little depressed, it can shut your sex drive down, it can change your orgasmic function, it can do all that.
Right.
So you may want to switch to something else, all right?
Okay.
Nuva ring, something like that. You know, there's a ring now. Yeah, you don't have to worry about taking the pill every day. You have to remember to change the damn thing every month, though.
Yeah. Would that have, like, something directly to not, like, well, I masturbated a lot. Would I be able to, can I be, like, broken? Is that possible?
I can't
orgasm from my clit anymore. It's horrible.
Yeah, you've broken your clitoris, Trina. I'm terribly sorry.
You got to slow down, girl.
Yeah, you can overstimulate things. There's something called a jackhammer syndrome or something, where the guys would get it from operating a jackhammer in their hands. They get neuropathy in their hands. But for the most part, if you slow down, that tends to come back. I think the reason it's not coming back is because of the depot shot. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck. Another happy customer. Andrea, what's up?
Not much.
Well, I'm with Josh Myers.
Hi. This is the first time I've ever even heard your show before. I've turned the radio on and I heard you talking about addiction, and I kept listening to it, and you guys were talking about you're blacking out, and you said that wasn't normal when you drink. And I mean, I don't think I'm an alcoholic by any means, but I black out sometimes. And
it's very often one of the first signs of developing alcoholism. It's a sign that you have a problem. And it really, to define alcoholism, it's very simple. Do you have a family history? Yes or no?
I don't. My mom doesn't drink at all. I mean, my dad drinks a little bit, but...
All right, so we don't know. Well, we don't know. Maybe he is or his family.
He has a drug problem.
Okay, well, addiction, alcoholism, they're the same genetic thing, basically. So you have a 50% probability right there of getting the gene. Now, the other hallmark is, aside from the family history, is progressive use in the face of consequence, right?
What does that mean? Because I do have a problem, and... I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how. I mean, I don't want to hit rock bottom. You know how people just lose everything, and that's how they fix it. I don't want to do that. I want to fix it now.
Well, then you can go get some help. It's, you know, the fact that you have
and
not.
I want to do it by myself, but I
doesn't happen like that. It's a brain disorder that changes the motivational systems in your brain. And it wins every time. It's beneath consciousness. It's a very pernicious process that will progress, guaranteed, in some fashion if you don't do something about it. Sometimes people can kind of, if they don't touch anything, they live sort of a pristine life, they can kind of prevent it from progressing. We'll still have various manifestations, particularly the fact that you've gone on this far with it, Andrea. But why don't you get... treat it. That's the bottom line. I mean, all you got to do is go to 12-step program, go to AA. You're at least not at the point yet where you're having medical problems and have to be treated, have to be detoxed. Just go straight to an AA meeting.
Blacking out seems like it's probably a bad time. It's not a good end to your night.
It's one of the more common signs of alcoholism. It's this, and clearly Andrea's an alcoholic. I mean, that's just getting going. Andrea.
Are you there?
Yeah, don't use the F-bomb, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I apologize. That's so trash.
Bitch!
I am. Well, it's really, I drink a lot, but that's because I have a problem. I have a drug problem.
It all goes together. It's the same disorder.
I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to fix it on my own.
Andrea.
Yeah?
That's not going to happen. I deal with this disease every day in my professional life. That is not going to happen. I wish it would. I wish there was some incantation I could tell over you. I could just sort of say some magic words. I wish I could tell
you. That'd be great.
Wish I could tell you like Dr. Phil does, just to choose to stop doing drugs. But that is BS. This is a progressive brain disease that you wish the changes hadn't occurred in your brain, but they have. And once you get to that point, it has to be treated. You need to see somebody who knows how to deal with that. You're out in Kansas. Lots of programs out there. Here's something for Josh. It's Karen, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
There's nothing much going on over here, but yeah. I just wanted to ask Josh Myers a question. When did you realize you wanted to be an actor, and why?
Oh, boy.
Before he answers that, Karen, what's going on in the background?
Yeah, before you answer that, like, is it just me, or were you on, like, Mad TV and, like, SNL?
I was on Mad TV. My brother, Seth, is on SNL. Very much alike, but I'm 2 inches taller and much stronger. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, ever since I played Leroy in Fame in Bedford, New Hampshire in sixth grade, a town with not a lot of black people, clearly.
Oh, that's so cute.
No, but I, yeah, I've always liked being on stage. And after college, I got a job acting overseas and took that. And I haven't had to take a different job in a while. And I think
competition like sort of like throw you off and just kind of thought about like, oh, maybe I should.
He also went to a very fine school of dramatic arts.
Yeah, I went to Northwestern University. I studied acting. You always hear the statistic that 1% of actors work in Los Angeles, but I sort of feel like 80% of those people have no business calling themselves actors.
Now let's look at your graduating class at, say, at Northwestern.
I heard it from, like, the actor Mark Walston. Like, I met him recently, the guy from Shawshank, and he's like, it's really hard, and he's like, a lot of competition and stuff. So.
Well, it is hard, and, you know, I've gone 18 months without a job.
But look at your class graduate from Northwestern. Are they all working? Most of them work? Some of them?
No, some of them work. I don't think some of them are still pursuing it. I think I've been fortunate. I think a lot of people come to L.A. and try to sort of get their chops here. And I worked at this theater in Amsterdam for 3.5 years and did 6 shows a week in front of 200 to 300 people a night. And when you do that for that long, you sort of gain
some skills.
Yeah, you get better.
That was improvisational comedy?
Yeah, it was improv theater? And sketch. It was like Second City, essentially. In English, yeah.
In Amsterdam?
Uh-huh.
What the hell?
Yeah, what a job, huh?
But everyone speak English over there? I guess they all do.
In Amsterdam, they speak good English. And then when you sort of travel out around the country, you get, you know, to some farm towns, you got to slow down a little bit.
By fifth grade, they have to have 3 languages or something mastered.
Yeah, they study French and German and Dutch and English.
Yeah.
So
we suck over here.
Yeah.
Well, here's a call from New Hampshire where Josh grew up. This is Destiny. What's up?
Hi, I have a question.
All right.
I recently started dating a guy, and we were talking about sexual fantasies.
Before you get into your sexual fantasies, Destiny, where in New Hampshire are you calling from?
Nottingham.
You know where that is?
Yeah, I don't know it that well.
But you know, it's near Bedford?
No, it's not. You're not close to Bedford, Manchester, are you?
I'm about 45 minutes east of Manchester.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the southern border of New Hampshire.
Yeah. out by the beach. Cool.
What's up?
All right, well, we were talking about sexual fantasies, and he told me that one of his biggest ones is for me to act like his sister, and at first just kind of be like, oh, no, well, what if mom and dad come home? And then, he kind of got into, like, saying that he wanted me to get into it and then, like, just act it out. And is that normal?
It's creepy.
Of course, every man. No, it's not normal at all. No, of course, Destiny, that's bizarre behavior. That's bizarre, and it leads me to suspect something funky happened. Of course, the things that are terrorizing in childhood become the source of arousal in adolescence and young adulthood. And so it kind of tips you off that something might have happened with him.
Okay. I think it's creepy. I think you get rid of that dude.
Right. Yeah, you should be freaked out. It's a very weird thing. If he were saying just he was joking or was playful or something, and he was trying to freak you out. Who knows what motivates guys to do weird stuff sometimes. But if he's really into it and serious about it and aroused by it, that is suggests some problems.
Have you met his sister?
No, he doesn't have a sister.
Okay. Well, that helps. It makes it not so creepy, but still.
What is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, you create a sister to fantasize about in your mind?
I don't know.
No.
How'd you meet this guy?
Actually, we met quite a while ago online.
Oh, boy. Mm. How old is he?
Yeah. And how old is he?
Uh-huh.
He's 20.
All right.
58.
What's he do for a living? Says he's 20.
He works at Walmart right now.
Oh, good. All right. Well, what's not to love about this guy? Let's just keep him, right? I mean, come on.
He's not in the union, so.
This guy's a keeper. You wouldn't want to let this guy go. He wants you to pretend he's his little sister. He works at Walmart. It's perfect. Met him online.
Yeah,
Destiny, what are you doing with your life?
Nothing much at the moment. I'm trying to go get my GED and just
Let's get that going. Let's get that going, all right? Let's break it down. Come on.
Yeah.
We're going to...
For the GED.
All right, let's get a little GED going here, get a good job. Let's work on Destiny for a while. Don't worry about these crazy guys, will you?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Sure. Jonathan?
Oh, okay.
Hey, buddy, you're on with Josh Myers.
I have, some kind of weird problems going on.
All right.
When I was
talking to you for 3 seconds, I'm not surprised. Go ahead.
Back when I was in like fifth grade, you know, I'm one of those people that have trouble with math, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like my sister tried to help me with math, but like she did it in a kind of rough way, you know. I'll get hit with I don't know if you've seen those iron those wire clothes hangers.
I think everyone's seen them.
Yeah, well, ever felt one of those hitting you?
A what?
A wire coat hanger?
Yeah.
Your sister would beat you?
Yeah.
Because you were bad at math?
Yeah, like, for every wrong answer I would get, which was pretty much like...
Seriously?
Yeah.
And now are you a mathematician?
No.
Yeah, well, it didn't work.
Did somebody beat her?
No, not that I know of.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the question?
Yeah, and like, now it's like... Like this past year, like, I don't know, I had so many flashbacks of that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like almost felt them all over again. Mm-hmm. And like, I would go like a month or sometimes a week, minimum of not sleeping.
All right, so why don't you get some help?
Actually, I did. I went to counselors, but went to like the school psychiatrist and all that stuff.
Right.
But yeah. It just made me feel even worse.
Did you get on some medication?
Yeah, actually, and I went to a depression at the same time.
All right, Jonathan, you were describing something rather serious. Not just the abuse, but the degree of insomnia you had, the anxiety, the depression. You need to go back to the people who are treating you at school. It's very important. This is something that can spiral out of control pretty severely. Tom, what's up there?
How you doing?
Good. You're on with Josh Myers.
Josh Myers.
Josh Myers.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
How you doing? Hey, I'm on Love Line. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Holy crap. So, long time listener, first time caller. And I just
fantastic.
To the guy who was saying, or the girl who was saying that her boyfriend wanted her to be his sister, but he didn't really have a sister.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. I had a girlfriend once. We were in a play together in high school. We were brother and sister to play, and it kind of got into sex a little bit, and it made sense. I'm not sure if that makes me twisted or not, but I've never had a sister.
Are you twisted in any other ways?
No, not usually. it depends, you know. Sometimes on the internet you find things that you didn't ever think you'd be interested in.
Like what?
Oh, no, come on. I'm not getting all into it.
Now you come on. You called.
I mean, we don't know who you are.
I'm just talking about how... I'm just saying that once I had a girlfriend and the sister fantasy made sense.
I get it makes sense, but we're trying to evaluate whether it made sense for good reasons or because it was just part of a general fetishistic inclination that you have.
A fetishist inclination? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. I'm like a foot guy or don't have like any crazy fetishes like that. Like, it's
would you guys stay in character when you were hooking up? When you were playing? When you were in a play with this girl?
When we were in the play, you mean like while we were having sex? Would we stay in character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for part of it, but then you kind of lose it and drop it and forget about it.
Right.
You kind of just get wrapped up in it. It's not like you don't want to take over the whole thing. It's not that important.
Well, so it was a little more playful. You weren't like being, you know, going through the whole.
I think it was more her, actually, because I think she's the one who kind of brought it up. She was pretty twisted, if you want to know the truth about it.
All right. That starts to make a little more sense. You were a young guy who wanted to have sex, was playing along. She could get you to do anything.
Sure.
Oh, at that age.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. And it may have been exciting just because you're having sex and, you know, whatever. You'd play along. You'd be,
in Tommy in college, and my girlfriend at the time played my mother.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone talked about how creepy that was. We certainly never role played.
Right. But had she requested it,
let's go.
Yeah, I understand that, Tom. But the fact is that you were a young guy. This girl had some issues. She may have been the one that had been sort of inappropriate boundary problems with the brother. Thankfully, you got away from that one.
All right, and also, when you do plays with people, you hook up on them in school, without a doubt. I mean, you spend a lot of time rehearsing and whatever.
Do you think that's why that happens on movie sets and things like that? Same phenomenon?
I think it does. I think, you know, your world
You would
is
think
very...
it'd be even more, right? Because movie sets are like sensory deprivation tanks. And you're just stuck, you know, morning, noon, and night with these people having intense emotional experiences. At least a play, you're like coming and going and doing your schoolwork and stuff.
Right, right, right. But it's you know, it becomes your sort of social outlet, I think, when you're
college.
Yeah.
It's called
when you're college or when you're in high school.
What's that?
They call it showmance.
Showmance. Instead of romance. That's clever.
It makes sense. People always, you know, report on it. Go, how could this happen? It kind of makes sense that people are. And plus, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the, I don't want to disparage actors and actresses, but there's some boundary issues very often. And people, oftentimes. So, all right, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number here. Josh Meyer is in the studio with us. You know, we got multiple ways to identify Josh now. You know him from Mad TV until 2002. We're going to hear the story of how he got fired in the next segment.
Right.
He is on That 70s Show as Randy Pearson. He's Missy Pyle's boyfriend, and he's Seth Meyers' brother. And he's doing a pilot called That Guy. We'll talk more with him and more with you after this.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Thank you, Anderson, for drowning us out here as we chat away. Thanks. Well done. 1-800-LOVE-191 again. Josh Meyer is in here with us tonight. You know him from That 70s Show, where he plays Randy Pearson. You also know him from Mad TV, where you often play the announcer that does that. Didn't you play the guy that
The Splishak spokesman.
Splishak, yes. Yeah. The Splishak stuff, so...
People. I don't know who's playing that these days.
I think they did away with it for the most part. When you
they might have. It had been done away with when I sort of picked it up.
Resurrected. Were you able to pitch skits and stuff? Is that how that worked?
A little bit. It wasn't... You weren't encouraged to write things necessarily, mm-hmm. but you would come up with ideas. I think now more and more the cast is writing. But I know they don't necessarily like that because they need to buy the scripts from the cast, whereas they have writers
on
salary.
Got it. Do you stay in touch with anybody from that show?
Yeah, like Ike Barinholtz and I were roommates in Amsterdam for 3.5 years.
Oh, no kidding.
Or not for the full 3.5,
right.
But we were there. Jordan Peele and Nicole Parker also are sort of Amsterdam alum who are on the show now.
Is she still on the show, Nicole?
Nicole Sullivan, you're probably thinking.
No, but Nicole Parker was the new Nicole.
Yes.
And I think is she still...
Well, there's all... Yeah.
She's still doing it.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And you were going to tell me about the story about how you got fired in 2002.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was 02, 03, but I was really surprised. I thought I had been good on that show, and I feel pretty comfortable saying that I was good on that show. But they really, like, kept hiring people. So we had a cast that was way too big. Mm. And my ego likes to say that sort of Fox called... Mad TV, and we're like, if you cut this guy loose, we'll pick him up and do something with him. Because 15 minutes after I was fired, I had a deal with Fox.
Nice.
So I that sort of unemployed
right?
ball yeah. in my throat. But at the same time, it still doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And no explanation. They didn't give any explanation. Just kind of called
no,
you.
No, and they, you know, the first time somebody from the production, one of the executive producers called me was 2 weeks later, and I answered the phone, and I was like, 2 weeks? You're going to take to call me? Like, because these people were also my friends. Like, I do my best to get along with the people that I work with.
I'm confused. Who fired you?
I heard from my manager. I just got a phone call, and it's like, they're not picking up your option. But it's ended up being, professionally, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
While the rest of them are still locked into the multi-year.
Yeah. Yeah, I get to do that 70s show for a year and shoot a pilot now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, we got a bunch of kind of amazing calls here, so I'm not even sure where to start. Let's start with an easy one. Carolyn, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, if you're like in the pool and someone's swimming and they have like AIDS and they have like a cut and they're like all bleeding and stuff and you don't know it and you have a cut and it gets in you, can you get AIDS from that?
That is essentially impossible. Let's call it impossible. If they vomited a quart of blood into a swimming pool and then you drew some, you know, 3 cc's of that up and shot it in your vein, it would still be impossible. The AIDS virus is in late in the disease, the viral concentrations go up. And for the most part, particularly people that are in treatment, which is most people today, the amount of virus circulating in their blood is so low that you dilute it in anything and it's no way you're going to catch it.
But also, like, if you're in a pool with somebody who's bleeding, you just get out of the pool because it's gross.
You mean hepatitis B you might get, on the other hand, and so that you might want to avoid when people are just hemorrhaging in the pool. I mean, just generally speaking.
Blood water's not...
But Carolyn, you have a fear of germs or anything else otherwise?
No, I'm just like like, my worst nightmare is getting AIDS and, like, you know, like, always having it and dying from it and stuff.
That's very unlikely to happen if you're careful.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. Don't use IV drugs. Don't sleep with lots of people. Use condoms. Blah, blah.
Don't touch doorknobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on.
And one more thing. You should try to get Tom from MySpace on Loveline someday.
We're going to.
You are? When?
Did you hear the quote he put out last week?
No.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, no way. Yeah, what you should get him on.
Why don't you tell people what he said?
Well, he was like, people were posting bulletins about, like, him dying and stuff. Or being on a radio station and him saying all these things. It's like, oh, I would never go on that radio station. The only show I would go on was Loveline. And he put a happy face.
That's very kind of him. And we caught wind of that, and we've been trying to get a hold of him. So we would work on that, okay?
I'll send him a message.
Okay.
Very nice. If I can say real quickly, I have a page on MySpace.com that somebody showed me. It's not mine.
Is it? Are you, your picture's on it? Already?
Absolutely my picture.
Wow.
I'm like, you know.
It's weird, right?
It's creepy.
Look at my name online. See if there's anything up there.
Yeah.
Scary what they might put up there.
But so if anyone's on MySpace and you're one of my friends.
Well, you can go look at what Josh looks like, but he's never going to go to that site.
Right. It's like a Mad TV promo picture as well, and I would never use that.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? You're on with Josh Myers.
Hi, Josh. Well, anyways, am I actually on now?
You're actually on now.
Okay,
it's happening.
Cool. Anyhow, I've listened to you guys for a long time. I'm actually on here, I've developed these fetishes over the last couple of years now, and I'm kind of humiliated of them, but, I mean, girls have been more than willing to kind of fall into it. Stuff that involves vomit and piss and sex, and it wouldn't be so much an issue as much as
why should that be an issue? I mean, if we're in four, I can't wait to see what follows next.
Yeah, the thing is that I've kind of become numb to normal sexual practices.
Yeah.
And, I mean, stuff like when a girl is performing oral, throwing up and stuff like that, I mean, it's really twisted in a sense. And I've had some personal issues and stuff in the past, and I can't tell if maybe I have, like, a degrading thing towards women,
issue? What do you mean personal issues?
Well, I mean stuff. I mean, my mother's been an alcoholic my entire life, and I mean the only way I really feel any kind of affection from women anymore is really just physically. I can't really feel anything emotionally from them, and it's really just started to bother me in the little bit here because I can't enjoy normal sex.
What did your mom put you through?
What's that?
What did your mom put you through?
Well, it's just more so, I mean, coming home, I'm the oldest of three children, and I mean, I took care of them and as soon as I'd come home and everything, and I just kind of, I guess I grew to kind of despise her for what she kind of put me through. And
it makes sense that you have all kinds of crazy and heavy feelings about women, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I don't have anything really against women and in general. I mean,
think if you were an anthropologist from Mars and you were coming down and studying the human animal and you found this one human male that liked to pee on and poo on and vomit on his partners, you might go, I think he might have developed some negative feelings about the female in that species.
Well, it's not even so much that. The vomit thing is more so like a her to me thing.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Anything is really, it's just more so towards me more than anything. Like, I'm the one that enjoys being humiliated through it.
I see. Well, that's, again, probably what your mom put you through. As I've said many, many times in the show, the experiences of childhood that are terrorizing and miserable become amazingly attractive.
I just I can't understand how they would correlate, though.
It's not about understanding. It's about how your brain's wired, that when you have a horrible experience in childhood, you suddenly seek out or are attracted to people that can recreate those experiences in your sexual acts. And it's a crazy thing that humans do, particularly younger humans, adolescent, young adults. And here you are. You're doing these things that don't make sense intellectually and cognitively, and yet the drives are there to fulfill them. And there you go. And the way that's treated is through various kinds of therapies. And I would look into it if I were you. It's not going to be a... You're not going to have likely get involved with stable relationships with that kind of impulse.
Yeah.
So when you,
it's something where, I mean, more so, I guess I'm more in a position to contract sexual transmitted diseases and whatnot.
Well, I mean, any kind of disease, you're exchanging all kinds of fluids, and there's no way to protect yourself from vomit.
I understand.
And there are guys that are into this stuff, and you keep it as an isolated fetish. And they visit people to engage in this stuff, and they carry on their relationships in the daytime. It concerns me. It concerns me a great deal.
When you masturbate, do you like poop in your pants?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Yeah.
No, you don't.
No.
Good.
All right, so there's something worthy of kind of looking into a little bit, I'd suspect. Vomit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess it's a legitimate fetish. It seems weird that all these sort of odd things are, oh, yeah, that's totally legitimate.
Well, legitimate, what's weird about our world today is people go, oh, yeah, whatever you're into.
Right.
Like, no. These things mean something. It really speaks volumes about how you feel about yourself and your relationships and all these crazy impulses and drives that you have that really are sort of misdirected and are the result of a heavy, chaotic family system with an alcoholic mom that probably humiliated and abused him when he was growing up.
Yeah.
Off he goes into this fetish. And the other thing that happens is as he sort of engages and indulges this fetish, as he was describing, he needs that for arousal. You need higher and higher levels of arousal as the sort of arousal system. It's almost like using higher and higher levels of a drug to get the same effect.
Uh-huh.
It's the same exact thing with sexual acts.
And it's making him the marrying type.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Family man. Adam, what's up?
Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I've been, ever since about 5 or 6 years ago, I've been steadily using drugs, mostly pot, just about every day. And then I started getting into, like, morphine and OxyContin, stuff like that.
And? What's your question?
Well, recently I started using inhalants, and I just wanted to know, like, what kind of effects it was in my head.
Which inhalants?
Just, like, aerosol cans.
Propellants, hydrocarbons.
Yeah.
Those are awful. There's probably no more rapid way to damage your brain. In terms of their addictive potential, they're not as bad as opiates.
Okay.
Opiates cause the most severe addiction, but inhalants cause some of the most severe brain damage. Opiates do not hurt your brain. They just cause a horrible, horrible form of addiction.
Yeah, I never really quite got addicted to them, thank God.
Well, I think you're just switching from one thing to another, and you're addicted to a lot of different things. You're sort of trying to control one youth by switching to another. We call that sort of crossing over, or crossover addictions.
Right.
And this is something you deal with, Adam, or you're going to hurt yourself. You're a young man. You got a whole life ahead of you. And I have a crystal ball, Josh. You may not know this, but you see this crystal ball here?
Uh-huh.
I can see the future, and I'm looking at Adam's future, and it ain't pretty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say, like, I've done a whippet, essentially, is what we're talking about here.
Well,
yeah?
No, because that's nitrous oxide. This is a inhaled propellants, hydrocarbons and things.
Okay.
If he was going to say the whippets, that would not be as bad as what he's into, which is basically sniffing glue.
Right.
That's basically the
thing. I did a whippet once, and I was sort of like, yeah, but it's like 10 seconds, and it's over.
Yeah, good.
What was that worth?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Josh goes for the OxyContin, the heroin, of course.
The OxyContin, you always hear about people taking, like, you know, 30
people,
and
yeah,
40.
People.
Yeah, people. You know, it's just how that stuff multiplies, I think, is the creepiest.
My average Vicodin and Norco patient takes 50 a day.
Yeah.
Average. I have some taking 70 to 100. It's good times.
My patients.
Good times.
Yeah, very similar.
Josh Myers, That 70s Show. Randy Pearson is his character. You can see it Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Fox. And God knows they'll be rerunning it forever, too.
Yeah, on FX. I mean, it's on constantly.
Good thing. His girlfriend, Missy Pyle, we're going to drag her ass up here soon. He's doing a pilot called That Guy. Is it for Fox also?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's for Fox with Regency and Ivan Reitman's production company as well.
Nice.
Betty Thomas is directing.
Fantastic.
It should be good. Should be terrific. Fox should put it on the air.
Look for him in the date movie, also in the reruns on Comedy Central of Mad TV, rather. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Josh Myers in here with us tonight. He plays Randy Pearson on That 70s Show. We got a bunch of interesting calls in here. Guy that just got out of prison wants to talk to us. Guy whose girlfriend punches him during sex. Guy who drinks and pees his bed.
Wow.
But first, we're going to go to Aaron. Aaron.
Yes?
Hey, you're on with Josh Myers.
Hi.
Hey there.
First time caller. I'm so excited. Okay.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey.
Well, my question was, I just wanted to see how you enjoyed yourself for your birthday at the Pirates Adventure place in Buena Park.
The Pirates Dinner Adventure Theater in Buena Park, California.
What the hell is that?
It's like medieval times, but pirates.
No.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal. I mean, you know, I'm not.
Is it on what, Beach Boulevard or
it's,
whatever?
Yeah, it's right next
I've
to
got
medieval
to take my kids
times.
There.
We went for my girl for Missy's last birthday. We went to medieval times, and she rented a bus, and you know, we went down
She's
there with
in
like 40 people, and and it's sort of to do something in L.A. when everybody rides on a bus. It's essentially yes. a field trip. Nobody's driving.
Right, right.
Everybody's drinking.
Yes.
Boy, were you guys fun.
Oh, we loved it. I've got great pictures from
Aaron
that night.
Aaron was one of the wenches.
Were you a wench or were you a...
I was actually your guys' wench / bartender.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It was so... I really wanted to jump in the water on the side of the pirate ship.
Oh, my God.
And this guy...
How did a guy do that?
I know, and the guy, like this handler that was walking me around, I was really drunk. He was like, you know, you can't go in the water, and I was like, I'll be out of the water by the time you tell me to get out. Like, I just want to go in and out. And he's like, please, please, and he's like, it's going to be bad, and I'm like, how bad? And he's like, they'll call the cops, and I was like, well, how bad's that? Oh. Like, what are they going to do to me?
Oh.
They can take me in, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. We were all dressed up.
Is it for kids too?
It's 100% for kids.
It's a family fun stunt / musical. Look at my little cheap plug.
Yeah, and they let me get on the ship to take like the Pirates Pledge, which
wow.
is just kids, but sort of our section demanded that I be allowed to go up. And they pull me really close, and they're like, hey, man, not too crazy when you're up there, all right? You just do what this pirate does, and not too crazy. And I was like, all right. And I get up there, and I was flanked by two employees. And as soon as this thing is over, they shuttle me right off. They made sure that I was not, because I could have been real trouble.
So we see Josh's puss on the Entertainment Tonight or
yeah.
something, being arrested. We'll know why.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Aaron, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Arr.
This is Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, Drew? What's up, Josh?
Josh.
Right?
Josh
yeah, Myers. Nice. Yeah. Nice
How
one.
How you doing? I have a masturbation question.
Yeah.
All right. When I masturbate, I like to like pinch off the vein in the side of my penis, which gives me a harder erection.
The one then, vein?
Yeah, like the vein on the left side of the penis.
Yeah, no way.
Well, like it gives me a harder erection, but like lately I've been, when I orgasm, it's been hurting, like real bad.
Stop pinching that vein.
Like,
right?
I mean, it. My thought on it was that it works like ring and, you know, gives me a harder erection, whatever. And I let go right before I orgasm. But lately, it's just been hurting. It's like it stops short and it just really hurts.
All right. That probably has nothing to do with the vein thing. Look, first of all, erections are caused by increased blood in, not decreased flow out for the most part. I mean, obviously, within reason, you can change things a little bit with decreasing the flow out, but you can't do it by just that one vein. It's not as though everything coming out of the penis comes out that dorsal vein of the penis. In fact, very little does. So it's not about that. So I don't know what you're seeing. It's not that. And the pain is probably just because you're masturbating so damn much. You've irritated your prostate or caused urethritis. And probably you want to see a urologist about that. Mark, what's up, buddy? Mark from Berkeley?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're on with Josh Myers.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
All right. So my problem involves drinking beer and bed, or peeing the bed, sorry.
Josh, I blame you tonight. We have all these misuse of words you can't use on radio. The one
what?
You just heard?
Yeah.
That was not a good one for radio. But go ahead.
Okay.
So you urinate in the bed after
yeah.
going to bed drunk.
Yeah. And it's not usually a problem, but lately I have a girlfriend. And she really doesn't.
She doesn't like that?
Very attractive. No, not at all.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to do?
Well,
how much beer are you drinking? Are you drinking, you know, a case of beer?
Well, I mean, usually if I'm feeling good, between 12 and 18. In
yeah.
a night.
That's a pretty hefty amount there, Mark.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
most of the patients I've met are only up around 10 beers a day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about making sure you pee right before you go to bed? Do you do that?
Oh, well, that's the weirdest thing is last year was my freshman year at school. I'm up here at UC Berkeley, go Bears. And I started doing it a lot, so I started peeing about like 5 minutes before I went to bed. Even if I was real inebriated, I would make sure to do it. Now I found myself doing that, and I still will wake up like not an hour later after passing out, and, you know.
Don't you think this is a sign your body's telling you something? Maybe you're drinking too much?
Yeah, I'd like to think that that's not the sign, but it might be, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe if you pinch the dorsal vein of your penis.
Right, so. That might be helpful. 18 yeah. beers a day will give you alcoholic liver disease in short order. No problem. Right. No problem.
I just want to say, for the record, I think the fantasizing about your invisible or made-up sister is really kind of weird, and
we're with you on that. It wasn't invisible. He was yeah. he was encouraging the girlfriend to come along in the fantasy. And then the other caller we had, Tom from Long Beach, he was participating in the girl's fantasy that he was the brother. And in both cases, the sane partners felt kind of uncomfortable. Okay? Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Josh Myers in here from That 70s Show. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. More you, more Josh when we return. Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Josh Myers in here tonight. You know him from Mad TV as Randy Pearson on That 70s Show. Again, Fox Thursday, 8 o'clock. And a new pilot coming up called That Guy. We're going to all root for that.
Yeah, please.
You can see him on Date Movie as Napoleon Dynamite.
And Owen Wilson. But I'm in it so little. Really.
But memorable appearances.
Yeah, I mean, memorable in the trailer. I'm in the trailer. That's if you nice. Were to stopwatch me, I think I'm in the trailer more than I'm in.
But that's why they put you in the trailer.
The movie.
Well,
sure.
All right, let's go to some calls here. This is Brian.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Brian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Oh, by the way, we found the Loveline spot on MySpace. If you go on MySpace to groups, then type in Loveline. Please do me a favor and just kind of log in there because producer Ann wants to see that. The love of the Loveline listeners, because she didn't think there were enough friends on that site. I didn't know we had that site, but it's groups, Loveline, MySpace.
And Josh Myers, not really me.
Not really Josh Myers, but we'll be really watching you on tonight. We'll monitor the site on groups, Loveline. So what's up, Brian?
Hey, I just wanted to call and thank you for getting me through many restless nights in prison, man. I just got out the other day, and they play y'all every night at 10 o'clock, Sunday through Thursday.
That's awesome. What are you in there for? What are we in there for?
I smoked a joint and failed a drug test on probation.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Georgia, man. I'm telling you, it's messed up down here.
How long were you in for that?
Well, I was down a whole year. I was only in prison for 4 months. You know, they paroled me out.
You know, how many priors you got there, Brian?
How many
priors?
How many times I've been in before?
Yeah.
That was my first time.
But what were you on probation for?
Interference with government property.
What happened?
I was driving home one night. Cop arrested me. I got upset. I kicked out the back of his window.
Yeah, don't want to do that to a cop car.
Now, how does that go? Brian, help me out here. Uh-huh. Just you're getting pulled over. Were you loaded?
I was drunk, yeah.
You were drunk.
Yeah.
And so you kicked out the back of the car just because you were drunk and out of control. Is that right?
Yeah, well, see, this is what happened. They started going through my truck. And yeah. I figured they're not allowed to go through my truck without my permission. And I planned on kicking the window to get their attention, you know, for them to not go through. I didn't have anything in my truck. It was just the fact of the matter, you know. And when I kicked it one time, it just shattered. I regret it the next day.
Sure.
didn't regret it right then, though, when they came in and hog-tied you?
Yeah, they hog-tied me. They put me on an ambulance stretcher. They put some kind of steel casing on top of me and strapped it down and took me to the hospital.
Wow.
So you were just out of control. You were completely out of control.
Yeah, that was back. I was young and crazy. I was crazy when I was a teenager. That was when I was 18.
Were you on speed or something?
No, I was just drinking.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've calmed down. That's not a good way to go through life.
I have calmed down, you know. I ain't going back to prison. I ain't getting no more trouble.
Fair enough, buddy. I'm glad we got you through that.
Yeah.
Keep
four
listening.
4 months, though. 4 months.
All right, like, Brian, take care now, all right?
All right.
It's rough.
Easy on the weed, please.
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. ask him what he's doing for a living now. Should I ask him? I just like poking at a scab. Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
What are you doing for a living now?
I'm moving back to Athens. I'm going to work in a landscaping company.
Cool. All right. Get that job going. This is now Jamie. Jamie, what's up?
Hey, this question for Josh.
All right. All right.
I heard that you got kicked off Matt TV.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
Straight up fired.
What happened with that?
Yeah, I don't know. They just...
they hired too many people.
Or, you know, I
Fox
also
needed
like
them somewhere else.
I would... I certainly don't know how to run a show, but I always feel like I know how to run a show.
Yeah.
So, like, if there would be a couple weeks where everyone in the cast was really down about stuff, I would go, like, try to take a meeting with the executive producers and be like, just so you know, morale is really low right now. And they'd be like, you don't need to take it upon yourself to do this. And I'm like, well, somebody's got to, right?
Oh, boy.
So I said what I thought a bit, and maybe it was a bit too much. I made one comment that I know was sort of...
Let's have it.
Off. Well, it was like...
Come on. I know, you didn't mean
it. You know, we were having guests on the show, and, you know...
They suck.
The guy that runs it's like, you know, I think our cast is great, and we rely on the cast, and blah, blah, blah. And I yelled out, no more Chingy, because, like, we just had Chingy on. He was a rapper who, like, had just sort of popped.
Right.
And it's a funny name, so I yelled, no more Chingy. But in the middle of this guy's, like, holiday speech, who runs the show... So after the holidays, I came in and I apologized. It was inappropriate, you know. And I don't imagine that's why I was fired. But I certainly
maybe learned a little something.
I said what I thought, and maybe it's easier without me there. But it was, it was sort of an environment where somebody's always not happy. It seems.
You think that's the nature of improvisational comedians?
I don't. I mean, I think it's.
It wasn't that way in Amsterdam.
No, certainly not.
You guys are all high all the time.
Not all the time. Sometime. I mean, once you have a bank account and go to the grocery store, when you're over there, things clear up a little bit. But I did one show stoned over there my whole time. There's one guy who did every show stoned, and we had a deal where I would do one stoned and he would do one sober. And I did the one stoned. It went pretty well, and he never did the one sober.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But he's funny. Funny guy, yeah, man. I'm telling you, you can work on it.
Let's keep the pot theme going here. It's Brittany. What's up, Brittany?
Hey, I just have a question about the effects of marijuana use on your personality. As an example, like, my boyfriend, we've been together for a really long time, and he's, like, just, like, a jerk. Like, he's always been like that, so that's fine. But whenever he smokes, he, like, becomes a completely different person. Like, he'll go from just, like, screaming and just, like, crazy angry person to, like, totally sweet, like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. Just, like, totally different. It's, like, a different person.
Yeah.
He's better when he's stoned?
Yeah, I made this declaration about pot long ago when used to know House of Pain and Cypress Hill and those guys back when they were young, hyped up, angry, like, scary guys to be around. 10 years of pot, they're like, nothing. They float in here.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point, Brittany. Here's what's probably going on. Is he's probably withdrawing when he's not high. And the withdrawal from pot can be extremely uncomfortable. People become very irritable. They become angry and sort of labile and can be sort of irrational sometimes. It's extremely, if you get badly marijuana addicted, it's very uncomfortable.
He smokes every day.
I know, I get it. And he's a marijuana addict, but he has periods of time where the levels go low. And that's the period when he'll enter into withdrawal phase and become depressed and irritable and can have panic attacks and all kinds of lovely things.
Is that going to get worse?
A lot of things can get worse. What's mostly going to happen is those periods where he's like that are going to get longer and longer, and he's going to have more trouble getting out of them with the pot. And he'll start to get more depressed, and the pot will sort of, he'll sort of see it as the pot not working anymore. He'll say, like, I have to smoke more, I have to get better pot, it doesn't work, and that's when people either switch to other drugs or they come in for treatment. That's how that
totally
goes.
That's what's going on, too. He smokes more and more, and, like, that's horrible. All right,
all right, Brittany, good luck.
Bye.
One other thing about pot is that it affects all humans. When they get addicted, it's the exact same syndrome in every single case. Not that marijuana is addictive for everybody, but when it is, it's severely so. And we're still trying to figure out the biology of why certain people get this opioid effect from pot and others just don't.
Uh-huh.
And it's very complicated, and it's not been worked out yet. So
there was a, there's this soccer tournament, the Euro Cup. It happens every year, 2 years opposite the World Cup. And it was hosted by Holland and Belgium, sort of as a coupling thing while I was there. And there were all these problems with, like, hooliganism in Belgium, where you can't smoke pot, and it's all beer, and it's all that really strong beer.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Holland, everything was cool. Trouble
alcohol,
whatsoever.
Listen, we've discussed it before. Do you have somebody who hyped up on pot or on alcohol in terms of the behavioral manifestations?
Yeah.
But what she was describing, Brittany was describing, is what happens later in the game.
I love it that guy, he's a jerk normally, and that's cool. And he's yelling and screaming, and that's awesome.
Nick, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, this question goes for Josh.
Yeah, what's up?
What I'd like to know is, what would you believe was your best skit that you performed for MTV?
The one where I made out with Ike, I really liked. It was a good sketch. You know, we were two guys watching a football game, getting very excited when our team scored, and sort of the chest bumping and high fiving turned into all out making out, and then we were just two guys who were confused and didn't quite understand what was happening, and had to figure out if we were gay. And that's the one that sort of people talk to me about the most. And it was one that, you know, we really got it on the first time through, and we just did one more pass at it to get a slightly longer make out.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was that difficult for you?
I knew how funny it was. Oh, yeah. And and my brother's made out with dudes on SNL now. If you're willing to go for it, I feel like
it's all your craft.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Nick, buddy, take care now. Okay. All right. This is, hey, we got any hit something in MySpace site? 40 more. You guys can do better than that. Again, it's the groups at MySpace. Type in Loveline, and we will monitor you guys. I used to get 1,000 online hits when we do this kind of thing. Come on, you guys, log on. This is Azure.
Yes.
Hey, what's up there?
Hi. Hi, Josh.
Hi there.
Okay. Dr. Dre, this story is going to sound kind of harsh, but just bear with me. About 10 years ago when I was 13, my mom's boyfriend molested me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really talk about it. And then about the last year, I was talking to my sister, and she told me that she was molested by him too. And that he tried to rape her.
Why is this harsh? This is a standard Loveline call. In fact, let me flesh it out. Let me finish the call for you. Your mom undoubtedly was sexually abused by somebody, because amazingly, the sexually abused moms bring predators into the house. That's because, again, when you've had a horrible experience happen in childhood, you are attracted to those kinds of people that allow you to reenact that same trauma over and over again. It's uncanny how people do that. So she undoubtedly has some sort of sexual abuse history. And then you and your sister end up trauma survivors who also go out and act out sexually, and sort of will fluctuate between being super hypersexual and being shut down sexually.
Well, that's what it is. My sister is hypersexual. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I mean, I've had one boyfriend in my life, and I've only had sex with a couple of guys.
Okay, good.
And like, I mean, I'm not really understanding the mechanics of that. Like, why would it be where she would be hypersexual and I would be anti-sexual?
More shut down. We don't know exactly why one person gets sort of one version of this, the other gets most. Are you there? She hung up. Probably talking to mom. Worked in.
She had it.
Most commonly, people fluctuate back and forth. Uh-huh. It's like they go periods of life, they're shut down, and then all of a sudden they go into a period where they're hypersexual. And I would say the most common is just sustained hypersexuality. Some are sustained shutdown, but that's not the common thing. Jane?
Hello?
Hi there. You're on with Josh Myers.
You guys could hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you. Funny thing about the phone and the radio.
Oh, God.
What's happening?
Hi. I've been a long-time listener, well, since 8th grade, 3 years ago.
Cool.
I'm calling...
Turn your radio down. I'm hearing your radio feedback here. Turn the radio down.
Hold on.
See, there you are.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to say that I just want to say I've been a listener for 3 years of Loveline since 8th grade. I'm from McFarland, California.
I'm a sledgehammer.
Yeah, go ahead.
sorry about that. I just like to call and say that.
I like her bangs.
Inspiration for me.
Great, Jane. We appreciate that. Anything else you want to talk to Josh Myers about?
Is he hot?
I'd like to know if you'll be doing any more. If you'll be doing any skits with Family Guy, are you?
Family Guy.
Mm-hmm. With me?
Me or Josh?
Josh.
No, I don't think so. I've never done any.
Confusing your voice for somebody else. I'm listening. Do you think your voice sounds like somebody who's on?
I don't.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, a little Matt McConaughey voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But did he do Family Guy?
Probably.
All right. I used to play him on Mad.
Oh, that's right.
McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just a little bit more like this. And then you get into your McConaughey.
Because he smoked so much weed, yeah.
Right. Failure to launch opening up soon.
If you smoked a bunch of weed, you sound just like him.
If? You're just saying. Here we go. Let's keep going. Here's, here's my Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, what's up?
Long time caller, first time listener.
Thank you, sir.
yeah, when I'm having sex with my girlfriend, she like tries to punch me and stuff. I don't know what's going on, but it's kind of scary.
What does she tell you is going on when you ask her about it?
I've tried, and she always like changes the subject. I don't know if there's something wrong with her or what, but it's kind of, I don't know. It's like really scary.
Hmm. What does she change the subject to? You guys, do you always just have conversations while you're having sex?
No, like
she just won't
like
answer you.
Afterwards, like one time she tried to punch me in the face, and I like eluded it. I like, you know, I blocked it. And afterwards, I was like, "Hey, what was up with that?" And she's like, nothing." And I was like, "Oh, okay." You know, I always try to get out of her, but she never like.
Right, so there's something going on there, and I think you need to get her in a quiet moment, not in and around sex, and go, look, this is happening. It's troubling to me. Where do you think this comes from? What is this about? Be very supportive. Don't be sort of, you know, don't accuse her of anything. But she sounds like she's kind of in denial about it, too. She doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to talk about it. And I think you'll find, again, there's going to be some kind of a trauma history there.
Yeah, so.
Maybe talking about it will make it better. Maybe it'll make it worse. And it, perhaps by bringing it up, you can get an opportunity to discuss the possibility of treatment for her.
Cool.
Okay.
There is something to be said for like play fighting turning into
sure
sex little, or wrestling or you know.
But this is her doing full roundhouse to your face, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be a lot worse if I punched her. But
yeah, I'm not saying punch her, but like play fighting.
Yeah, he's saying a little wrestling, that kind of thing. But this is really her. And does she get any sort of, you get any sense of what's going on? Does she dissociate? Does she get a faraway look in her eyes or anything when this happens?
No, you know, it's kind of dark. I don't really see.
Sometimes people they're in sort of a dissociated state when they do stuff like that. And you kind of see they're sort of checked out. Their eyes are sort of out. They're dissociated. Mm-hmm. Dissociated means sort of disconnected from reality. And in that state, various kind of rage responses can emerge. And that's what happens with trauma survivors. Hey, Roger, what's up, buddy? You're on with Josh Myers.
Hey, what's going on tonight, fellas?
Not a lot.
All right. I just had a quick question. I was wondering, what could be the serious effects of doing one six-week cycle of anabolic steroids? I mean, is there anything really serious that could come out of doing one six-week cycle of that? Or
sure. Is it likely? I don't think so, but no one's really done any systematic study on that.
Oh, really?
Do you want to do it for?
That kind of falls into what my profession is. I'm actually a professional fighter, and
like a boxer.
Kind of mixed martial arts.
Right. Well, if you get found out for using that, don't you get kicked out of your profession?
There's a lot of ways around that. So.
Oh, sure.
Right.
That's the way they cycle it. And is that becoming a big thing in your field?
Unfortunately, it is. Unfortunately, it's really sad, but there's not really a lot of pure sports out there nowadays.
Right.
It's something where if you want to stay on top of your game, I mean, everybody's doing it, so. Mm. Eventually, you're going to have to. So.
Here's the problem with the 1 6-week cycle theory. There's no way you're going to do just one cycle. There's no way.
Because you're going to look so sweet.
Yeah, you're going to go, I just want more. just one more. And yes, you could get serious depressions. You can get manias. You can get strokes and heart attacks, kidney failure, and liver problems from a single cycle. Are you likely to get that? No, you're not likely to. Mm-hmm. Not likely. It depends how much you do and depends on what you're doing, that kind of thing, obviously. But a lot of guys do steroids and don't get that, particularly off their single cycle. But very few guys, most guys get addicted to how they look and feel very quickly. Yeah. Do you have any history of other addictions?
No. No.
All right. Good.
None at all. So.
Good. All right. Good. All right. You know, it's a philosophical question almost, Roger. I had a friend who was a bodybuilder long, long ago, and he was this little guy, and he became Mr. America. He became a whole career built around, and if he hadn't taken steroids, no way.
Right.
No way. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, clearly it's running through sports right now, and it can't be stopped.
The philosophical question is, so he knocks 15, 20 years off his life.
Uh-huh.
And it made his life as a young man. Good thing, bad thing? I don't know.
Right. Do you want to win?
Believe me, when you're taking steroids, knowing
that you're not pure?
Well, it's not even the ethical question like that. It's more like, do you want to shorten your life, probably, to get something more out of it in the short term? Believe me, when you're 60 and dying, you will not think it was such a good idea.
Right.
That's the amazing thing. Now it looks like a great idea. But when you actually get to the point you have to pay up, all of a sudden, it doesn't look so good anymore.
And doesn't your penis gets really little, or your balls get really little?
Both can. Well, but for a while there, you're super hypersexual, and then you shut all down.
Yeah.
This is Nikki. What's up, Nikki?
Hey.
Hey.
Wow. So nervous. What's up?
It's happening. You know, Josh Myers, Mad TV, that 70s show.
Oh, wow.
I know. Awesome. What a resume.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Amsterdam Improvisational Comedy.
Yeah.
I actually had a question about...
Hang on a second, Nikki. Nikki, hang on a second. What was the name of the theater you worked for at...
Boom Chicago.
Boom Chicago.
Yeah.
And does the boom have any special meaning in...
No, we exploded on the scene in Amsterdam.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right, Nikki, what's up?
I actually had a question about hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about a year since I've actually had a period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 19 years old, and I'm kind of wondering what's going on. Having, like, extreme hair growth and... I don't know, it's just my hormones are completely off and everything. I was just wondering what would be, like, the causes or what to be expected from it, because I'm really worried about infertility and stuff.
Well, the list of what you're describing could be, you know, 30 or 40 things on it. I mean, just of common things. So why haven't you, this is called oligomenorrhea, and why haven't you had that evaluated?
Well, it's more like a financial thing. Really? My mom and I are actually going to go get checked out soon.
Okay. Listen, you go to any county facility and they'll check you out for whatever you can afford. No, nothing usually. So go in and get checked out. It's ridiculous to withhold yourself, withhold health care. We could be talking about androgenic tumors of the ovary.
All right.
Yeah,
right?
I was looking into PCOS. I heard about that.
Right. And that's the most common thing, polycystic ovarian disease. And are you overweight?
I am.
How much do you weigh?
About 240.
Yeah, just the weight itself, even without PCO, can make you lose your periods. Because with all that excess adipose tissue, the estrogen levels go very high and you don't cycle normally.
Why are you so fat?
That's Alex Borstein.
Yeah.
And play Miss Swan.
Yeah.
Do we have any other Miss Swan out there just to make Josh feel at home?
That was the only one I could
find. It's the only one you kept?
She was gone by the time I got there.
Oh, okay. Right.
Everything else
but it's not like
nice.
I don't know her.
What?
Everything else she said was nice, so I had no use for it.
Okay.
So, Nikki, you're so fat.
This could easily be the obesity issue that's just causing the whole thing with or without PCO, but nonetheless, you still need to get this all evaluated.
Yeah, I've been trying with the obesity thing. Like, I work out every day, and I eat all organic foods and stuff, and I cannot lose the weight. So
How many calories a day are you eating?
I don't know. I don't do calorie counts.
Get it down around 800 to 1,200, and see what that does. See what that's like. Because if you're not cutting your calories, it doesn't matter how much you work out. Because your body will fight to stay where it is. And you've got to be ready to fight to take it on down. And if there's some treatments coming out soon, something called Ramonabant, Topamax, the medication that helps people not eat. And then, of course, there's gastric bypass surgery as well.
And
you could be diabetic. This could also be contributing to the lack of period. So we're getting into real trouble here with medical issues related to your weight. It's time to deal with that, okay?
Okay, I'm just really worried because it's the entire infertility thing, and I'm like 19.
You're putting the cart way ahead of the horse.
Okay.
Way ahead. You've got to deal with your overall health and safety first before you can worry about fertility. You've got to survive to reproduce, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm dead serious about that, and so let's get on with this, okay?
Okay.
All right, kiddo, take care.
Thank you.
Josh Myers from That 70s Show, Thursday, 8 o'clock, also on reruns on TV on Comedy Central. I see his reruns all the time.
Yeah.
So that whole period, it must be very popular on Comedy Central.
Yeah, well, there was a flip. It used to be Saturday Night Live, and then Comedy Central sort of bought Mad TV for a certain number of years.
But your years, there seem to re-air those an awful lot. So.
Yeah.
All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We've got some calls for Josh. We've got some night terror questions. We got some usual oral sex stuff. Give us a call. More Josh, more you, more me when we come back.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. Josh Myers in here with us tonight. Randy Pearson on That 70s Show, Thursdays, 8 o'clock on Fox. Also, Mad TV. Also, a new pilot called That Guy. Thank you for joining us, Josh.
My pleasure.
And a special thank you to the folks that joined us on the MySpace group Loveline. So if you go to MySpace, go to the groups, type in Loveline. We are watching you. And to Jordan... Was Jordan the guy that said, I owe the big thanks? Yeah, so I owe you a thanks. You're right, Jordan. Also, Nick, Captain Cool, Carrie, David, huh? Bob, Justin. Huh? Yeah, these are all the guys we're watching interact on the MySpace site. But my favorite guy is the greased up deaf guy. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. Okay. All right, let's get a call for Josh here. This is Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey, I have a question for Josh.
Sure.
How long have you been, like, doing acting, like, before high school at all?
A little bit, you know, through high school and, you know, I guess sixth grade I did my first show and I've kind of been going from there that long, however that...
What was your first show?
My first play?
Yeah.
It was Fame. I played Leroy.
At sixth grade?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like the summer show in Bedford, New Hampshire. Yeah. And I remember... I had to call, like, the teacher in the play, I had to call her a bigot. I did know what it meant, but the director didn't want me to say it because he's like, there's a lot of bigots who live here. And I was like, that doesn't, like, even in sixth grade, I was like, we can't do that. Oh. Like, we can't pull the line.
This is where it started. This is the beginning of the behavior that led to you losing your job on Mad TV.
Absolutely.
There it was, right there.
Pow. Absolutely.
Teacher should have smacked you on right then.
So, yeah, it's been a while.
All right, Travis, you got plans for acting?
Yeah, I've been mostly acting for a while. I've done two plays so far for my high school.
All right, Travis.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, keep at it.
We'll improve. This is Jack. What's up, Jack?
Hey, my question goes out to you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I heard your show, I think it was Thursday, and there's a guy called about night terrors. And I just want to know what triggers them, because I get those all the time.
Well, they can sometimes be biological, like a seizure disorder. So things like drinking excessively, using benzodiazepine medication, just having a seizure disorder, having epilepsy can do it.
Well, actually, my mom and my brother have gotten them, but I don't think they get them nearly as much as I do.
They get them too?
Yeah, they've had them before.
Something you inherit. Also, having been traumatized, being through, you know, having dissociative episodes and trauma and these sorts of things that, you know, they're so common on Loveline can also be associated with night terrors. You just wake up frozen? Is that what happens?
I don't ever really go to sleep. I feel like I'm going to faint, but at the same time, I can't breathe. And you know, I feel like I'm dying almost.
Well, you're talking about a panic attack. That's totally different.
Well,
night terror is when you're asleep and you wake up
I'm about to sleep, you know?
Yeah, and then you get panic attacks. That's sort of a common time for people to get panic because they're falling asleep. That's something different. That's something that really you should see a doctor about because panic is quite treatable now, and it can be really miserable and disabling.
Yeah.
So it's something you ever had panic attacks?
No.
I've had panic attacks. They're horrible.
If you have cats, I'd get rid of them because I think cats probably just want to kill you when you sleep. Siamese cats, especially.
Freaky cats.
Yeah.
Christy, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I actually got through. This is awesome. Okay, I have a question. My boyfriend, it's probably been about 5 months now, every time he comes, whenever I see it, It has yellow, like jello-like chunks in it. Yeah. It's white, but it's got like little tiny chunks of yellow in it.
Like tapioca?
Like, yeah, tapioca, like pineapple and jello.
It's tapioca pudding syndrome.
Well, I mean, it looks normal except for those little chunks. Like, I don't know. It's really weird. And he even says that sometimes it hurts.
Those are the puff rubber, sperm, right?
They're rubbery, too, right?
It's like jello. Like, yeah. You know.
But not jello, not nice soft jello, like hard old jello.
No, it's soft. It's like jello. Like, it looks and feels just like little yellow pieces of jello.
Does he put jello into his penis? Because that would do it, I would think. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the doctor here.
Actually, Christy, that actually is a pretty common thing. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. And if he if he keeps his pipe clean, it'll sort of thin out a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He needs to clear some of the... And this is why one of the reasons men need to keep the fluid coming out of them. They can, you know, chunk up a bit and could cause prostate inflammation, things like that.
Oh, I mean, he's taken care of daily, though. I mean, he's...
Yeah, you're a very good girlfriend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, hold on. Do you see the chunks every day?
Yeah, every single time he has them.
Well, some guys just form that really readily, and that could be just him. That's just...
Really? And I mean, the fact that it may... hurt a little isn't anything.
You know, those chunks can be a little irritating, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. He might want to be checked for infection, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
And there's always room for jello.
Yeah.
Anderson, don't you have a drop for that one?
Oh, that's great. All right,
Krista. Well, are you in school now? What are you doing?
Huh?
Are you in school now? Are you working?
No, I'm actually driving home. I just went to go... pick up my son over at my mom's house and
more jello, please.
There it is. Let's hear that one again, Anderson. One more time.
More jello, please.
That's right.
That's what her kid's gonna say when she picks
him
up.
He's a little guy though, so he's sleeping. So
how old is he?
He's not listening to anything.
How old is he? How old is your son? Christy?
She lost her.
She's cut off. How about that? Boy, a lot of calls.
The kid woke up.
A lot of calls for Josh here. Is another, and mostly young adolescents, like a 14-year-old. Here's another Josh for you, Kyle.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I was wondering, like, what you did to get where you are today in acting.
Please.
Wow, really? I made out with my ex-roommate, Ike Barinholtz. I went to school, studied acting. I've talked about this a little bit. Then I worked for this theater in Amsterdam for 3.5 years and moved back. I put up a live show when I got to Los Angeles.
Let's kind of go through this. The people that succeed do so because they're good.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of training and usually sort of broad training. Like they're training all, not necessarily just in acting. They also study literature and sort of interesting people, right?
Yeah.
Right, then you love it, and so you do it and do it and do it and do it, and you don't get tired of it. You don't regret or dread doing it, right?
Sure.
And sometimes in order to do it, and I'm going to start to put words in your mouth here now, you get other jobs to support it, so you can do it at night and do it in training and do it other times, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you might, some people drift into other kinds of areas of this business. They become casting directors or they become... producer, whatever.
Right, you do whatever you can to sort of be around the business.
Right.
But I'll also say that, you know, a lot of people say that a lot of it's luck and sort of being in the right place at the right time, but sort of, I'd say 90% of that luck is being prepared for when the opportunity comes around. And my roommate, Ike Barinholtz, who's still on Mad TV, and myself, had put up a live show. And at the time, the Mad TV people came and saw us. There were only 4 guys on Mad at the time, and we had a really good show that they saw, so we got hired. So,
how about the hard work factor? Just breaking your butt.
I mean, yeah, it's...
And consistently for a long time.
Right. I've been fortunate enough to not have to do other... When I first moved back to L.A., I was a nanny for a 4- and 7-year-old boy,
there
just because I had to do something.
Did you have to, like, try out or something, or how did you get to Mad TV?
Yeah, I did have to try out. You did.
But you said you had a play you put on, a show you put on.
Yeah, I put on a live sketch show with Ike, and then you sort of go in and you do three celebrity impressions and three original characters, and
for the tryout for
Mad. That's a pretty standard Saturday Night Live and Mad TV, any sort of sketch comedy show. That's a standard.
You have to do impressions.
Yeah. So, you know, you show them what you've got, and maybe you're not going to be an impressionist. Maybe you're going to be a character guy, but you better be good at one of them. And if you're good at both of them, it's only going to help you more.
Tony, what's up, buddy?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air with Josh Myers.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Good, Tony.
You're the man.
Thank you, buddy. What's up?
Hey, my question is, I was recently in the hospital. I had, like, a really, really bad headache, and it lasted for about, like, 72 hours. Yeah. And when I got to the hospital, they did a CAT scan to see if the brain was bleeding.
Yeah.
And then I did a spinal tap, and both things came back negative.
Good.
Spinal tap didn't have any blood in there or anything like that.
Right.
But the main thing that caused it was, like sexual intercourse.
Right.
And, in fact, like, I had just had sex with my wife, and, like, that's when the headache first started.
Let me ask you, is there migraines in your family?
Yeah, my uncle has, like, such bad, like, he has to take the Imitrex shot.
Right. And, given any of that stuff?
I haven't. No, I haven't. This is the first time I've had anything, like, that serious. Like, I've had headaches before, but never this serious.
Okay. And did you have any tearing or facial changes or, you know, the eyelid drooping or anything like that?
My eyelids, like, they kind of felt, like, a little heavy. And I
both
was,
sides.
Like, my eyes were really glassy the whole time.
And the headache was on both sides, not on one side?
It was on the right side predominantly, but, like, as like, the third day, as, like, crept on, like, it was, like, really, it felt like my head was in, like, a vice,
yeah.
Basically.
Okay, all right.
And when the doctor, like, judging from what, you know, I told him, he said that, like, I had cordial migraines and that, like, serious intense things can cause them.
Cluster migraines.
He said something like some other type of migraines that he thought it might could have been or something like that, and they wanted me to see a neurologist and everything. But the only thing that seems to cause it is when I have sex.
Well, there are all right. So it's kind of a complicated situation, Tony. Is that they did
cursed.
All? Yeah.
It's
first
cursed.
Of all, you should see a neurologist because one of the things that needs to be ruled out is the possibility of an aneurysm. Even though there wasn't bleeding, an aneurysm can still cause something like this, potentially. Migraines, this could be straight-out migraines that are just triggered by sexual activity. It could be cluster headaches, which is sort of a variant of migraine. And it could be a post-orgasm headache, which is somewhat separate from migraine. Regardless, I mean, those would be the common things that can cause this. Regardless, it all needs to be treated, and it really should be seen by a neurologist.
Okay.
The kinds of treatments you would get would be like your uncle takes, the triptans, like Imitrex, that sort of thing. And most of them are pills now.
Okay. Yeah, and another question I want to ask you, too, is, like, I had recently, like, taken HGH, human growth hormone, to try to, like, bulk up.
Ooh. You didn't tell them about that?
What's that?
You didn't tell them about that?
No.
That can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause strange growths in the skull. It can close down around the cranial nerves and cause paralysis in your face. So you definitely need to see a neurologist, and you must discuss the growth hormone administration with them.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of like a weird situation because, like, it happened, like, I had to leave work because of it.
Boring.
All right, we got to go. You got a neurologist, you got to talk about the growth hormone issue. Real quickly, here is Justine. Justine, you're on with Josh Myers.
Okay.
Go, you're on, go.
Okay, I have a question. What is a bigot?
A bigot? It's someone who's intolerant of, kind of other races. Like, it's a racist. It's a...
Racist, but bigoted, you can be bigoted about all kinds of things. Racial bigotry is one of them. But
right.
Why don't you get no play, player? Nice. We'll look up bigot online here. Justine, you don't have a computer? Can't go to dictionary.com?
It's not on right now. It takes a while for it to...
Okay,
there
we'll look
is
it
no
up.
Racial bigotry here.
We'll look and we'll give you the official dictionary definition. I got a better idea. The guy's on MySpace. The group, MySpace, Loveline, go there. You guys look up dictionary.com. We'll watch the MySpace go by, and you guys tell us what the official definition will say that on the air.
They'll just put up a picture of Corolla.
Yeah. Did they do that? Oh, for the bigot. Yeah. Comedian. All right, fine. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're monitoring the MySpace group, Loveline. If you guys want to communicate with us through that, we'll talk to you that way as well. Josh Myers in here with us tonight. Randy Pearson on Fox's That 70 Show, Thursday, 8 o'clock. Also, Mad TV reruns. He is Seth Meyers' brother. You know him from SNL. and Missy Pyle's boyfriend, who we're going to get
devoted
up.
Devoted HGH user.
Indeed, indeed. And human growth hormone. And
bulking up over here.
And Missy and Josh made a scene at the Pirates Dinner Theater, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Pirates Dinner Adventure Theater.
Dinner Adventure Theater. And been discussed in Buena Park ever since.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
I'm sure it has.
This is Loveline.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Josh Myers in here from That 70 Show. So, Chris from Portland posted that bigot is someone who is strongly partial to their own group, religion, race, or politics, and intolerant of those who differ.
I said intolerant.
You did.
I got that one in there.
No, that's it.
Unacceptable.
And at Coquette, we're monitoring the Loveline. If you go to MySpace, go to groups, then type in Loveline. That's the site we're monitoring. And Coquette offer the definition of her relatives in Texas.
Right.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And the Greased Up Deaf Guy wants to know why I like him best. Anybody named Greased Up Deaf Guy, how am I not going to like that?
Yeah.
That's just...
And that's a guy that, like, you know, rubs up against you, and it's kind of gross, but anything you want to shout at him, he's not going to hear.
Nice. So,
yeah. How could that not be everyone's favorite guy? Hey,
Catherine, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
So, anyways, I feel like with guys, I don't know if it's me, like maybe I'm too nurturing and, you know, I do too much for the guy or what, but I always feel like I'm doing too much and the guy is never doing enough. Like, I'm always, you know, like...
Give us an example. How did your last relationship go?
Oh, it was crappy.
What happened?
I felt like I got taken advantage of.
Well, describe to us what happened. We understand how you feel, but what happened?
Oh, we were together for a year and a half. He was way too immature. He needed to grow up.
Catherine, stop with the generalities. What exactly happened in that relationship?
In the just like I would do everything. The guy didn't have a car. He didn't have his license. I would drive him around. That was the reason why I broke up with him.
He didn't work?
Well, he had a job. He just didn't have his license.
Was he 15?
No, he's almost 30.
30? Why did he lose his license?
3 DUIs.
All right. So
he's a winner.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was getting.
When he was 20, though, but he just never got his license back. He never needed it.
Yeah.
Was what he
are
said.
You, oh, Catherine, are you high? Are you kidding me? A 30-year-old guy who can't.
No. I know that's. Well, I know, and he always, the whole entire said, yeah, I'm going to get my license back. And finally, I'm like, okay. Oh, sorry.
Every caller drops the S bomb, the F bomb, the P bomb, the T bomb.
Well, she's frustrated because she's so maternal, too nurturing.
Hang on, Catherine. I know exactly what's going on with you. We have to make you sit and wait to pay penance for the words you just dropped out in the air. First, we're going to talk to Rachel, and then Catherine will come right back to you. Rachel, what's up?
Hi. I had a question for you, Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering why people scream during orgasms.
Why do people...
Why in general that is a physical reaction?
I mean, maybe you want to just... I do it to just shout the sperm out of me. I hate that the sperm's still inside
and
me,
also, Josh,
and I yell at it.
He has to also announce this to his friends.
Right.
He wants to let them know that he's been where he is. If you want to know why anything is the way... Well, now Anderson's playing all tapes of women, so are we saying that mostly women do this? Or?
No, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a general response.
All right, so if you want to know why anybody does anything... Okay.
It's mad. Right. I think whenever you hear like guys doing it, it sounds really, really
weird,
bad.
Weird.
And it seems like guys are definitely announcing it.
Yes. Yeah. And Rachel, if you want to know anything about human beings, yes, that's a little more what it sounds
that's
like.
That's my
too.
Jam.
Yes. Is you want to know anything about why humans are the way they are, you have to ask the question, what is the evolutionary purpose of this? In what sense did this offer some sort of evolutionary advantage mechanism. It might have been some kind of territorial announcer. Who knows what? I mean, it's something very, very primitive, obviously, and something that animals do to some extent. And it's something that must have some kind of, I don't know, some sort of purpose in, you know, out in the wild in nature in terms of, I would imagine, be more in the order of territory establishment, something like that. Somebody,
it's like knowing, a monkey telling other monkeys, I just slept with your girlfriend.
Knowing that one was, you know, that was what I was with, and you know, you should have heard it, should have smelled it, and should have all that kind of stuff that sort of marks things. I would imagine something like that. I don't know. Maybe people can think of other reasons. Or maybe there's other people who are evolutionary biologists that have specific reasons for it. I don't.
Mine's because I hate my sperm and I want it.
And then Josh always hates his sperm once it's out of his penis. All right, Rachel?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. All right, Catherine.
Yes.
All right. So was your father an alcoholic?
A long time ago, before I was born.
Look,
Where's my bourbon?
Stop with the long time ago and used to be's and all kind of stuff. These are yes or no answers. And
yeah,
so,
25 years ago.
All right, so your dad is an alcoholic, and so you're going to be attracted to people with that condition. Now you found yourself a good alcoholic. You're extremely codependently involved.
No, I don't, though. Now my boyfriend doesn't even drink.
You found yourself...
Like, I'm with a guy right now. He's awesome.
This is a new guy.
Yes.
Okay, so this guy smokes pot.
But he's what?
Smokes pot instead of drinking.
No.
Okay.
None of this.
All right. So what's your question?
I still feel like I don't know if it's just me feeling that way that I do.
Yes, you are extremely.
You know, I'm in the nursing field, and so I.
Perfect.
Nurturer.
No, this is codependency, Catherine. Severe codependency that you have to basically what codependency is that first of all you have a history of having had a parent or family member with alcoholism addiction, and so you get used to sort of getting what you need from them by keeping them kind of patched together and then taking care of them and getting what you can out of them without them sort of coming unglued. That's kind of the way I think of it. The other thing is oftentimes those people are trauma survivors and you sort of feel that you have sort of a special understanding of them and you can see what they're really all about and they're so beautiful and the injured child and all that stuff. That's all BS. What you have is an adult on your hand who's an active addict and you're busy keeping them in their disease. That's really the reality of what happens.
But what about this one that I have that doesn't...
Well, this new one, hopefully, I'll predict this one will magically have some sort of problem like that because you have not changed, Catherine. You've not done any work. You've not done anything to change what's going on internally with you. So what you will find consistently attractive is somebody that you can be codependently involved with and then feel resentful and angry at them for letting you participate in that on that level.
This guy's got nothing to fix. What are you going to do?
Well, yeah, you either dump him or he'll have something to fix.
Should I just say I'm not going to do that anymore? Or
no, you can't do that. It doesn't work like that. You got to go do something to change what's going on in your brain, and that would be either get a therapist or go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and work the steps. Very simple. Al-Anon is free, and a lot of people like you in Al-Anon do quite well with working the steps. Josh Meyer is in here tonight. Fox's That 70s Show, also Mad TV. On Comedy Central. Are they rerunning on Fox too or just?
I think no. Well, just, sometimes.
Just Comedy Central.
When they don't have a new show, but I think they run the new shows.
All right. More Josh when we come back.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
That does it for another episode of Loveline. Josh Myers, thank you for coming in.
No worries.
Don't
My
be
pleasure.
A stranger. Hope you can come back soon. And
sure.
Speak some Dutch for us. And
yeah. Geen probleem.
Nice.
Yeah.
Brugge van Kutje.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Brugge van Kutje.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. That 70s Show, 8 o'clock Thursday nights. Also, look for him. Maybe that guy will be rolled out. Pull for that pilot.
We're hoping.
We're watching those of you on the group Loveline site. We're going to keep monitoring that for a couple more days here. And tomorrow night, Eric Balfour, and then soon after that, John from System of a Down, and then Christian Finnegan. And then we've got Carson Daly coming up next week. So until next time, this is Dr. Drew saying goodnight and stay well.
Does he put Jell-O into his penis?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.